Welcome to the Voice of Providence, a radio ministry of the Providence Baptist Church with our pastor and teacher, John D. Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is neither enemy nor stronghold so powerful that it can stand against the Lord. In Christ, you and I are more than conquerors. We are victorious because the battle is the Lord. And because the battle is the Lord, He is our captain. His word is our command, and our conquest is sure.
Providence Baptist Church, located at 8523 Providence Road, Ootowah, Tennessee. Send us an email at voiceofprovidence@gmail.com. And now, here is Pastor Jones with today's message.
I invite you to take God's Word and go with me to Joshua chapter number 6. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel in complete lockdown. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once, and thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Skipping down to verse number 12, and the Bible says, And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually, and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned to the camp, and so did they 6 days. And it came to pass that on the 7th day they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass that at the 7th time when the priest blew with the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Skipping down to verse number 20, notice the Bible says, And so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it came to pass that when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. I want to call your attention to an expression that we find in verse number 2. The Lord said unto Joshua, See, He said, I want you to notice something. Look at this. I have given into thine hand Jericho. It is the Lord who pronounces victory before the battle even begins. And the only way that that is possible, ladies and gentlemen, is for in fact that the battle belongs to the Lord. Joshua was no stranger to war. He had met with many adversaries on the battlefield. Under the leadership of Moses, Joshua had proven himself a valiant man, faithful, fearless. He was a tremendous soldier. But now things are different. Joshua is not engaged in the battle as Moses' right-hand man. Now he is in direct command, if you will, of Israel's fighting men. It is with this weight of responsibility that Joshua is facing this formidable foe called Jericho. The city of Jericho was a well-fortified city that was built upon a large earthen mound. The mound of Jericho was surrounded by a great earthen rampart or embankment with stone retaining walls at its base. The retaining wall was some 12 to 15 feet high. On top of that was a mud brick wall 6 feet thick and about 20 to 26 feet high. At the crest of the embankment was a similar mud brick wall whose base was roughly 46 feet above the ground level on the outside of the city walls. This was what was looming over the children of Israel as they marched around this city. Put yourself in their shoes. Imagine what it must have been like as they walked around these mighty walls. The only sound was the sound of the priest's trumpet. The city was not only well fortified, it was also well equipped to withstand any siege. Within the city of Jericho, archaeologists have found that there was a very vibrant spring that provided copious amounts of water for the inhabitants of the city. The Bible tells us that the Lord brought Israel into the land at the time of harvest. And so the city itself had large stockpiles of food. In fact, archaeologists have already found, deep within the ruins, large clay containers full of grain. It's an amazing thing. In other words, this city could have withstood any kind of siege more than months. They speculate for years. All of this underscores one major fact. Israel, the nation of nomads, were powerless to overcome the city. The nation of nomads were no match for them. This is what Joshua is facing. Yet this man of courage, this man of faith and obedience, will go down in history as the man who did the impossible, because he goes down in history as the man who saw those walls fall. Ladies and gentlemen, there is neither enemy nor stronghold so powerful that it can stand against the Lord. In Christ, you and I are more than conquerors. We are victorious because the battle is the Lord. And because the battle is the Lord's, ladies and gentlemen, He is our captain. His word is our command, and our conquest is sure. I want you to consider these three thoughts with me this evening. Consider, firstly, because the battle belongs to the Lord is our captain. Backing up just a little bit in this passage, we go back to chapter 5 and verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now Joshua has taken a moment of solitude. He's alone in the plains of Jericho. No doubt he is in deep thought, contemplating what lies ahead of him. No doubt he is praying and considering this tremendous battle that is awaiting him. It is at this point that he looks, and behold, there is a man who is standing beside him. And Joshua understands that this is not just any ordinary man. And God comes to Joshua as a man of war, standing with his sword drawn, ready to lead into victory, ready and able to fight. He had not come as friend or foe. He had come as the captain of the Lord's host. He had come as the captain of the Lord's armies. He had come not as ally or enemy. He had come as commander-in-chief. Joshua readily admits and acknowledges this man's superiority. He bows down before him, he worships him, and he says, Lord, what would you have me to do? Notice again verse number 14. And he said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and he did worship. And he said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant. Lord, what do you want me to do? I am your servant. You know, I am reminded of the wise advice that J. Hudson Taylor gave to a group of missionaries who had just recently arrived in China, serving at the China Inland Mission. Hudson Taylor said there are three ways that we can work for God. He said the first is to make the best plan that we can possibly make and then carry them out to the very best of our ability. He said, but there's a second way. Having carefully laid out our plans and determined to carry out our plans, we may then ask God to help us and prosper us in connection with those plans. He said, but yet there is a third way that we can work for God. He says, that is, the work begins with God. Ask Him His plans and then offer ourselves to Him to carry out His purposes. Those are the three ways that we work for God. By the way, is that not true of us? Sometimes we get this idea of what we're going to do for the Lord, and we come up with a great idea, and then we give our very best ability to do it. Sometimes we come up with a great idea, and we lay everything out, and we say, Lord, this is what we're going to do. Lord, will you bless us in what we're going to do for you? But the very best way is to go to the Lord and begin with Him. Lord, what do you want us to do? What is it that you want us to do, and then wholly resolve that we are going to serve and do all that we can to carry out His purposes. This, my friend, is what Joshua did. Joshua did not go before the captain of the Lord's host. He did not say, well, listen, I have a great plan, sir. This is what we can do. Well, we can divide them up into groups, and one can go this way, and the other can go this way. We can maybe lay an ambush and coax them out after us. He doesn't offer him any plans. All he says is, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? This was Joshua's course of action. By submitting to the command of the Lord, Joshua was announcing that the battle was not his, the battle was the Lord. You know, we sing that old song, Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho. That's a catchy song. It's a very well-known song, but the truth of the matter is that song is a little bit inaccurate. It would be better sung, Jehovah fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. That is the only reason why there was victory in Jericho. It was the battle that belonged to the Lord, and it was God who was fighting for them. That's the only explanation for victory. There is neither enemy nor stronghold so powerful that it can stand against the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I say again, in Christ you and I are more than conquerors. We are victorious because the battle belongs to the Lord, and because it is the Lord's battle, ladies and gentlemen, He is our captain. Our God is seeking an opportunity to show Himself strong and mighty. But those who will see it are the ones who are recognizing that the Lord is the captain. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." If God is looking for a place to do the miraculous, sign me up. I want Him to do it here. If God is looking to and fro for a place where He can show Himself strong, Lord, do it here. We want God to be magnified. We want to see the Lord do something. Secondly, we can see the impossible when the Lord is our captain, but also when His word is our command. Picking up the story here in chapter number 6, when you read the Bible, always keep in mind that the chapter and verse divisions are not inspired. They are extremely helpful, but when this book was originally written in Hebrew, it wasn't broken up with verse 1 and verse 2. All of that was added as a study aid. And oftentimes it's very helpful. In fact, it's very helpful all the time. But sometimes the placement of chapter division gives us the wrong impression. You see, there is no break between chapter 5, verse 15, and chapter 6, verse number 1. In verse number 15, the captain of the Lord's host says to Joshua, when Joshua says, Lord, I am your servant, what do you want me to do? The captain of the Lord's host says to Joshua, well, first thing you need to do is take off your shoes, because the place that you're standing, it's holy. Joshua quickly begins to unlatch his sandals. He's taking his shoes off. And while he's doing this, verse 1 is a little bit of a commentary. It gives us a better understanding of everything that's happening. The Bible says now Jericho was straightly shut up. It was locked down, closed up tight because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. But there is no break. Understand, as Joshua is taking his sandals off, the Lord said unto Joshua, notice again, the capital letters of verse number 2, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is the designation of Jehovah God Almighty. This man that Joshua sees, this captain of the Lord's host, this commander-in-chief, is none other than God Himself, revealed in the fashion of a man. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once, and thou shalt do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Notice the command. Jericho had taken the position of being under siege, even though Israel had yet to come near to the city. The Lord had promised years before that He would immobilize their enemies with fear. Exodus chapter number 23 and verse number 27, the Bible says, God promises them. He said, I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. The command that God gives to Joshua makes no sense, humanly speaking. The Lord says, here's the game plan. This is what you're going to do. You're going to go and you're going to march around that city one time for 6 days, but on that 7th day, you're going to march around that city, and you're going to march around it 7 times. A total of 7 days. And on that 7th day, they would march around it 7 times. There would be 7 horns, ram horns, that would be blown. And when the people would hear the ram horns, when they heard the trumpet blast, they would shout, and the walls would come down. That makes no sense whatsoever, humanly speaking. But that was the plan. It's impossible, by the way, to read through this passage and not notice the multiple references to 7. For the Jewish people, 7 is a significant number, and it speaks of completion. The Hebrew word translated 7 itself literally means to be full or satisfied. In its connection with God, it speaks of God's ability to finish anything that He starts. God was saying to him, listen, I have brought you over the Jordan River, and I am going to bring you right to the door of your most formidable foe, but I want you to understand, what I am starting, I am faithful and I am able to finish. I'll bring it to completion. And so they march. At the command of God, Joshua steps forward in obedience. May God grant us that same kind of resolve. May God grant us the same confidence that whatever God has begun to do in us, we can trust Him that He's going to complete it. The same kind of confidence that says, whatever God has begun here with us as a congregation, God is faithful and able to bring it to completion. May God give us that kind of confidence that we would just march forward with Him, forward with the Lord. Because the battle is the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. He is our captain. His word is our command. But then, thirdly, the conquest is sure. Looking again at the passage and just rereading those verses. In verse number 12, and Joshua rose early in the morning and The priest took up the ark of the Lord, and the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of the ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. By the way, you know, there's two kinds of trumpets that you read about in the Old Testament. Some were made of precious metal, and the others were the ram horns. Those that were made of precious metal, those were to declare something. But these ram horns, they are always used in connection with celebration. They were celebrating the victory before the battle ever started. The second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp, and so did they 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass on the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And verse 20 says, so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Notice the conquest. Joshua was victorious that day because Joshua discovered a truth that many years later, Israel's most famous king would say as a ruddy youth. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 47, David says as he stands before Goliath, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. This is exactly what Joshua discovers. It wasn't by swords and spears that this battle was gained. No, it was the Lord who had given them this tremendous victory. Because the battle is His, Joshua was not working towards victory. Joshua was working from victory. That's true of all of us. We are more than conquerors in Christ. Jesus has overcome already every foe that we will ever face. We do not work towards victory. We work from victory. In fact, I want to show it to you here in this passage. Notice chapter 6 and verse number 2. Notice the verb tense. The Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho. That's past tense. Joshua, I want you to pay attention. Look very closely. They've already been defeated. He was working from victory. Joshua was victorious simply because he trusted the Lord. In Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 30, the Bible says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about for 7 days. Francis Schaeffer wrote, and I quote, Joshua did not take the city merely by a clever plan, human military tactic. The strategy was the Lord's. End of quote. And because Joshua aligned himself with the Lord and with the Lord's plan, victory was inevitable. There was no other option. There was no way that Joshua could have lost, because the battle is the Lord's. Alvin C. York was an unlikely man to become the most famous soldier of World War I. On October 8, 1918, the American Army moved into the Argonne Forest for the last major drive of World War I. By this time, York was in command of his own squad, and his battalion was in charge of advancing across this valley and taking out 2 hills that were occupied by German forces. York and the other squad commanders assigned to the left flank decided that their only course of action was to move that direction and do their very best to move in behind enemy lines and surprise the German forces. At this point, their combined forces of these fighting men were 17, including York himself. Upon advancing undetected around the enemy's flank and approaching from the rear, the unit stumbled across the headquarters of the machine gun regiment. The Germans at that moment were eating breakfast and caught completely off guard by the charging Americans. And they immediately surrendered. By this time, the machine gunners on the hill had been alerted to the Americans' presence, and they turned their machine guns now down towards their headquarters and opened fire. According to York, there were about 30 of them. They were commanding us from a hillside less than 30 yards away. They couldn't miss, and they didn't. The machine guns took out 9 men, including an officer, leaving Corporal York in charge. It was at this point that York began to make history. As the initial blast of machine gun fire hit the Americans, York was standing there, out in the open, without any cover, nowhere to go. He wrote, again, in his diary, he says, "Those machine guns were spitting fire and cutting down the undergrowth all around me, something awful. In order to sight me or to swing their machine guns on me, the Germans had to show their heads above the trench. All the time I kept yelling to them to come down. I didn't want to kill any of them more than I had to. But it was their eye, and I was giving them the best I had." Suddenly, a German officer and 5 men jumped out of the trench and charged me with fixed bayonets. I changed to the old automatic. Finally, they surrendered. The Americans, whose number had now dwindled down to 8, when they began this assault, they only had 17, but now they have 8 men. And they are trusted with the difficult task of leading 80 prisoners of war through German lines back to the American side. In front of York was a German commander who spoke perfect English. And York had his 45 in his back. And as they walked through German lines, he commanded the German commander to tell them to surrender. And most of them did. By the time York and his small squad reached the safety of the American lines, they had captured 132 Germans, including 3 officers. Word quickly spread that York had single-handedly captured the whole German army. According to the official army report, York's description of the battle was accurate, though this is kind of funny, quote, "York's statements tend to underestimate the desperate odds which he overcame," end of quote. When it was all said and done, a general asked the inevitable question of how he managed to accomplish such an impossible feat, to which York replied, quote, "There can be no doubt in the world of the fact of divine power being in that. No other power under heaven could bring a man out of a place like that. Men were killed on both sides of me, and I was the biggest and the most exposed of all. Over 30 machine guns were maintaining rapid fire at me from a range of about 25 yards. But then he said, "When you have God behind you, you can come out on top every time." And ladies and gentlemen, this is the truth that Joshua himself discovered. When the battle belongs to the Lord, we understand that the Lord is our captain. We recognize that His Word is our command. And when we walk in faith and obedience, the conquest is sure. Or as Sergeant York put it, "When you have God behind you, you can come out on top every time."
Thank you for listening to the Voice of Providence, a radio ministry of the Providence Baptist Church, with our pastor and teacher, John D. Jones. Our prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. We are located at 8523 Providence Road, Ootowah, Tennessee. You can visit us online at www.providenceonline.org. We would love to hear from you. Send us an email at voiceofprovidence@gmail.com. And until next time, may God richly bless you.